My name is Pete Thomas. I'm a community doc. I'm also co-director of Project Brotherhood, a black man's clinic, which runs out of the Ambulatory Community Healthcare Network. Just so that you know, I'm at the bottom of the food chain, okay? I see patients on the south side of Chicago and also at the Core Center, but primarily at Woodlawn. And it's interesting when I hear the statistics of a lot of the things that happen in the Bureau, and these are my bosses and mentors. So I'm immediately, I see the impact almost immediately within weeks of decisions that are made that are not within the, I think, best interest of our patients. I can see that in longer waits for medicines, admissions going up for my patients who are devastated by those decisions. So the Ambulatory Community Care Network was founded in 1994. We have, we had at that time 28 clinics with annual visits of 750,000. We were JCO accredited in 2005. We have very awesome community-based programs by which we are intimately involved, Project Brotherhood, chronic care model teams, domestic violence, and as well as relaxation therapy as well. So just so that you know who we serve, 50% of our patients in the ACHN healthcare centers are African American, 32% Latino, and 8% are Caucasian, 5% Asian, 5% other. So to give you a perspective of our ACHN network, one of our health centers that services the south side of Chicago is the Woodlawn Health Center. And it's a sort of an interesting demographics because we're surrounded by a rapidly gentrifying area. So the University of Chicago sits directly north of us, and there are like $300,000, $400,000 townhomes being built all in surrounding of this health center. In fact, what used to be a vacant parking lot across the street is now luxury condominiums being built. And so it's interesting when on a Thursday night when Project Brotherhood is happening to see men come in that clinic and still feel like that this is their home and that they're not going anywhere. This is a primarily an internal medicine site, which we normally are seeing 11,000 to 12,000 annual visits. We had at one point a chronic care model team with diabetes that was ran by an awesome nurse practitioner, Linda Tinson. And we have physician assistants, and as well as this is the home of Project Brotherhood. In fact, this is the picture of the men when they finished their manhood development class. And it's a class that we have at Project Brotherhood to help rebuild their self-esteem. So Project Brotherhood, it's a black man's clinic. This is a program that's culturally and gender specific. It is a program that black men feel very comfortable in. Why? Because they designed it. It was designed by 11 focus groups. They told us what they wanted. We put it in there. Dr. Murray and Dr. Eric Whitaker were two, and Sydney and Mildred, Sue and Kim. And, you know, so everybody was in that sort of center of just trying to figure out what we could do about addressing those health disparities among black men. So this is a class that we gave. It's an intensive cancer prevention program that we ran for colorectal cancer, and this grant was through the American Cancer Society, and primarily these are barbers that we trained to talk to their clients about cancer prevention. And it's interesting because the American Cancer Society was talking to someone. They said, you know, we need someone that's going to train black men. And before she could get it out, you know, the person said, you need Project Brotherhood. So we're always happy that we're in the forefront of folks who are trying to address men's health, especially black men's health. So we have a multidisciplinary approach. We don't play by the rule books. We tear it up. So we don't like the medical model. You know, it's very narrow, and it misses us, obviously, because of the health disparities that exist. And this is a grant-ran program. We took a devastating hit. We lost a lot of our staff with all of these decisions being made. But a lot of them have still volunteered to help us still keep our program afloat. So the Woodlawn Health Center was scheduled to close. An active advisory board was crucial, high-profile programs, and the role of local commissioners. And it's interesting.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah. It's interesting. I saw Commissioner Butler someplace, and he told me, he said, "Dr. Thomas?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Are you keeping Mr. Taylor happy?" Just so that you know, Mr. Taylor is the head of our advisory board, and he is extremely, how do we say, active. He's in your face, you know, like Mr. Taylor's probably coming in here any minute now. I mean, that's, you know, he has some flies on here too, just so that you know. But I mean, so Mr. Taylor will call, and so just if you guys in your own public health systems, you know, get you a nice advisory board and a Mr. Taylor. So he is very much an advocate of Woodlawn's and our entire system. He's in fact now organizing a coalition, if you will, of all of the advisory boards, and they're still collecting petitions to keep our health centers open. And so Commissioner Butler was particularly vocal with the current administration in terms of making sure that that Woodlawn and Provident and another health center stays open in his particular jurisdiction. This is a lifestyle center that is out of our Fantas Health Center, which is our largest health center. Fantas sees about almost 300,000 visits a year, and this is a very critical aspect of our innovative programs that are running out of our health centers. So throughout this budget crisis, the ACHN visits are down by 21%. Seven sites were closed. The self-paying billing practices cause patients to defer their care. Many patients aren't coming to our health centers for fear of being turned away. 47% of ACHN physicians were terminated or resigned or are planning to leave. 81% of our nurse practitioners left. Terminated, I'm sorry. And so that you know, that the impact of that is that those patients gets pushed to providers who are there. Our current panel gets pushed back because they can't see us. Their nurse practitioners was laid off. Their physicians who had to interview for their jobs all over again. There were a disproportionate of black and Latino physicians were laid off and or left. There's a loss of ACHN leadership, a tremendous amount of layers of leaders that benefits other health systems in the area, but we lost quite a bit of our leadership in these changes. So thank you very much for your time.